So on Chav Tesamid Beis, Ulafuke Mihai Tana. So our Mishnah that says that Yechayv Knas in the case of Chayvei Lavim and even in the case of Chayvei Krisus, that's coming to exclude another Tana, which we'll see in the Braisa. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, Velosia, Le'isha. And here we have Machlok Shin Shimon HaTeimoni HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The woman that's described in this parasha of Ones in Kiteitze is described as Velosia Le'isha. Now, Velosia Le'isha is not just a mitzvah or an obligation that's enforceable by law that the Ma'anis has to marry her, but it also tells me something about the woman who's included in this parasha. That's the yesod of this braisa that we're learning. There are two ways now, the Gemara says, about learning Velosia Le'isha. What does it mean that she is a woman that he can marry? So Shimon HaTimni is of the opinion that the Chiv Knas, in the case of Ones, is only Isha Sheyesh Ba Havaya. It's only a woman that if he were to marry her, there would be a valid Kiddushin. That's called Kiddushin Tofsin. And that's going to exclude Iser Karis, because there's no Tfisas Kiddushin in an Iser Karis. So if a man were to marry his sister, the Torah would not validate that marriage, because that's Chivei Krisus. So that's going to be the Shita of Shimon HaTimni. And it means that according to Shimon HaTimni, there's no way of understanding our Mishnah and justifying the fact that in the case of Al-Chayvei Krisus, he pays Knas. For example, the first case in the third section of the Mishnah is Habal Achoso. That would be a classic Chiv Karis. And there would be no Knas according to Shimon HaTimni in the case of Baal Achoso, because it's not a woman Sheyesh Bahavaya. There's no way he could marry in a valid Tfisas Kiddushin his own sister.
Would not be accurate.
Correct. This Mishnah could not possibly reflect the Shita of Shimon HaTimni. In fact, it's going to get even worse if we introduce Rav Shimon ben Menasya, because Rav Shimon ben Menasya is going to exclude Knas, as we'll soon see, even in the case of Chayvei Lavim, like Mamzeres, because he says Isha Haru'uya L'kaima, that the only time there's Knas is when there is a possibility of marrying this woman. Notice that the Torah would allow him to marry her. And even in the case of Chayvei Lavim, where there would be Tfisas Kiddushin, she would still be excluded from this parasha of Knas because she's not a Re'uya L'kaima. So Mimon Afshach, according to both opinions, Shimon HaTimni in the Reisha and Rav Shimon Menasi in the Sefer, there would be no way of justifying our mission of a Knas in the case of Psulos. The difference between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is going to be the case of Chayvei Lavim. So that Shimon HaTimni would allow Knas in Chayvei Lavim, but certainly he would block Knas in the case of Chayvei Krisus, which our Mishnah explicitly says there is Knas in Chayvei Krisus. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, it gets even worse, because then even in the case of Chayvei Lavim, in the first part of the Mishnah, in the case of Amzeres, there too there would be no Knas because she's not an Isha Rila Kaima. My Bein Nayahu, so what's going to be the Nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya? So my answer is on Rav Zera, Mamzeres Unesina Ika Bein Nayahu. Nafkamina is going to be the cases of Mamzeres and Nesina. Let's understand Nesina according to Rabbeinu Tam and many other Rishonim who say that Nesina is an Isa Doraisa of Lotus Chatein Bon because the Geris is incomplete. Mamzeres, according to everyone, is an Isa Doraisa of Mamzel Yom B'Kal Hashem. Now, these two cases come under what we call Chayvei Lavim, they're not Chayvei Krisus. And therefore, Lamandi Omar, if we go back to Shimon HaTimni, who says that lo siel isha means yesh bahavaya. Well, this, in these two cases of mamzeres and nesina, yesh bahavaya. Right, Hanami Yeshbavai. So therefore, since it's Tvisis Kiddushin and Chaim Lavim, again, this is going to be a problem for Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see in a minute, who holds that Ein Kiddushin Tovsim Chaim Lavim. But now we're holding like the Chachamim that Kiddushin Tovsim Chaim Lavim. So therefore, in the case of Mamzeres, in the case of Nesina, she's considered an Isha Sheyeshba Havaya. And therefore, according to Shimon HaTimni, he would be Chayev Knas. Ulamadiyom, but according to Rav Shimon Menasya, that Isha, lo siel Isha means real akaima, that excludes even the case of Chayvei Lavin, and therefore, in the case of Chayvei Lavin, like the case of Chayvei Krisis, there would be no knas. Now I have here a footnote about Kiddushin Tovsim B'chayvei Lavim, and he says that Nesina is either an Issa D'Rabbanan, certainly this Kiddushin Tovsim, and even if you hold it's an Issa D'Raisa, like Rabbeinu Tam and the others, it's only Chayvei Lavim. It's interesting that the Gemara has to mention here Mamzeres and Nesina. The Gemara could have just said it in a more general sense, Chayvei Lavim Ikar Beinayim. That would have explained to us everything. I don't know why the Gemara feels compelled to mention, maybe because the Mishnah mentioned these cases. So all this is fine and dandy according to the Chachamim, that Kiddushin Tovsim B'chayvei Lavim. Then we have the Nafkemina here in this Braisa between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Nasi in the case of Chayvei Lavim, when there is Tvisus Kiddushin. However, the Gemara wants to know Ula Rabbi Akiva, but supposing Rabbi Shimon Nasi would hold like Rabbi Akiva. That's a theoretical construct. We don't know for sure that that's so, but it's certainly possible. And Rabbi Akiva's opinion is the Omer Ein Kiddushin Tovsim B'chayvei Lavim, which means, therefore, that if we connect Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya with Rabbi Akiva, if we link arms in that case, then Rabbi Shimon Asya would hold that. Let's just go through this. Rabbi Shimon Asya holds that you need an Isha Sheyeshla Bahavaya, and now we're saying that only applies to Chayvei Krisis, but once we introduce Rabbi Akiva, we expand it to include even Chayvei Lavim, then it turns out there's really no nafkemina here between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Menasya, because we wanted to say that Shimon HaTimni was able to accept the position that there's a Chiyuv Knas in Chayvei Lavim, because Yesh Ba'avaya, but that's no longer the case once we introduce Rabbi Akiva to the equation. So it's very interesting that Rav Shimon Menasya comes along and he adds a new twist, sheds a new light on how to interpret Lo Siel Isha, but really he's not changing anything. Because even if you take Shimon HaTimni's first position, that v'lo siel isha, and that interpretation means yesh ba'avaya, that's to exclude chayvei lavim. So when Rav Shimon Menasya, the sefer of this braisa, says, no, it's isha ru l'kaima, which presumably would have allowed for knas in the case of chayvei lavim, that's no longer the case in the framework of Rabbi Akiva. So what is Rav Shimon Menasya adding here? Why is he compelled to have a new definition, a new interpretation of Velo Siel Isha when he's not adding anything? There's got to be some nafgemina here that he's adding by expanding Velo Siel Isha to exclude, let's say, any woman who's not Ruya L'Kaima. Now, he points out in the footnote that according to Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Mamzeres, which is an Issa Lav, there's no Tvisus Kiddushin. And the same will apply in the case of Nesina, according to those Rishonim, who hold that Nesina is an Issa D'Oraisa. Now Rashi and the Rambam happen to be of the opinion that Nesina is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. And the Mishnah of Melech in Hilchas Nayar Basula Perek Aleph, he wants to prove from our sugya that Isha Asur Min Rabbanan is considered Re'uya L'Kaima and Yesh L'Knas according to Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. Because if you're going to tell me that as a result of an Isha D'Rabbanan, she's considered Eina Re'uya L'Kaima on a Daraisa level, so why did the Gemara give a simple answer? That the nafkamina here between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Menasseh is going to be the case of Nisina, that according to Shimon HaTimni, she does collect knas because it's tfisas kedushin in an iser es in an iser drabana, whereas according to Rav Shimon Menasseh, she doesn't get knas because it's einaru lekaim. So based on this logic, or the omission of this nafkamina in our Gemara, the Mishnah Melech wants to conclude that an Isha Asur Min Rabbanan is considered Re'uya L'Kaima. She's considered Re'uya L'Kaima. So just like this Tfisas Kedushin, she's also Re'uya L'Kaima.
If she's also in the Rabbanan.
If she's also in the Rabbanan.
Really,
yeah, so we're up to Ika Beinayu. I don't know. I'm apologizing that we started at 7:30. And are you able to find the place? We're up to Ika Beinayu Al Mona LeKohen Gadol. This is about 7 lines up from the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis. Let's count it together: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Ika Beinayu Almana LeKohen Gadol. So what we're looking for, if you can somehow tune in now, is we're looking for an Isha Asura, and yet there is Tfisas Kedushin. What does that mean? That if a man marries a woman that he's not allowed to marry, despite the violation of the Isur, nevertheless, the Torah validates that marriage, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, why do I mention Rabbi Akiva? That was the previous Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ein kedushin tosim b'chai ve'lavim." So, what we want to do now is we want to find something that dips below chai ve'lavim. So, if you imagine like a hierarchy here, sort of like a pyramid, on the top of the pyramid we have, for our purposes, Chai Ve'Krisus. Again, there's something even above that, but that's not relevant to us today. So Chai Ve'Krisus certainly blocks Tfisas Kedushin. So if a man marries his sister, there's Chai Ve'Krisus, there's no valid Kedushin. Now we want to dip below that. So the Gemara before, that was the Gemara you missed, Gemara tried to introduce Chai Ve'Lavin, which is below Chai Ve'Krisus. Like, for example, if he's Mekadesh Mamzeres, and there would be Tfisas Kedushin. But now the Gemara has a problem because of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's position is that Ein Kedushin Tosim B'Chai Ve'Lavim. So that even in the case of Amzeres, which is not Kares but a Lav, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. So the Gemara wants to now find some sort of an Isur. We're not allowed to marry a woman, but yet if you went ahead and married her, the Torah would recognize that marriage and validate it because it's lower, so to speak, you know, in inverted commas, lower than Chai Ve'Lavim. Now, as an introduction to the Ika Beinayu that we're about to embark upon, let's point out that in Hilchas Isurei Bia, there's a fundamental distinction between what's called a Lav Hashava L'Kuli Alma L'Kol. Like, for example, Mamzeres, no one's allowed to marry Mamzeres. I mean, there are a few exceptions, but I mean to say the general populace are included in this Lav. Then we have a different category of Isurei Bia, which is called Isurei Kahuna, which are only limited to Kohanim because of the special status of a Kohen, and that's going to be the case that we want to introduce now. A case where we have a limited Isur Bia, and even though it's a Chai Ve'Lavim situation, Rabbi Akiva would agree that there's no Mamzerus, we'll explain that in a minute, and there's no invalidation, that's a double negative, and the Kedushin is valid. The Kedushin is valid even though he's Chayav Malkus. And that's going to be this Gemara here. Ikave nayu almana l'kohen gadol. So let's read the pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says, with regard to an almana l'kohen gadol, it says almana etc. etc. lo yikach. This is in Vayikach of Aleph, Psukim Yudalid and Tesvah. So what happens here? And we'll see. The Gemara is going to quote this in a minute. The Torah prohibits a Kohen Gadol from marrying a woman who's already been married before, which in the language of the Torah is called an almana. In other words, she's not a besua, she is an almana. We're going to soon see that in the case of Kohen Gadol, there are two sides of the coin. There's not only a lav, but there's also an essay. An essay. So we're going to have a case of a ba'ula, and then we're going to have a case of an almana ba'ula, right? But now we're focused on almana. Now, in the case of almana, if a Kohen Gadol were to marry an almana, he would get malchus for that. And the reason for that is because the Torah says, lo yikach. Lo yikach is a lav. But the Gemara is going to now analyze what's the status, b'dieved post facto, if a Kohen Gadol went ahead and he married an almana. And he violated this lav. If not for the Gemara that we're about to embark upon, you and I would have said intuitively, the child of such a marriage is a mamzer because there's no tfisas kiddushin. Let's just set down the basic rules here. Whenever the Torah says that a marriage between him and her is invalid, the child of such a relationship is a mamzer. So there are two dinim that are flip sides of one coin. One is e-tfisas kiddushin, and the other is mamzerus. Now, since Rabbi Akiva says that the child of a chayvei lavim is a mamzer, which means there's no tfisas kiddushin, logically we should apply that to the case of almana l'kohen gadol, because since almana l'kohen gadol is a violation of an iser lav lo yikach, therefore, hence the child of such a man should be a mamzer, and there's no tfisas kiddushin. So the Gemara now is going to embark upon an analysis as to why this lav of almana l'kohen gadol is a different kind of a lav. Even though it's a lav, even though you get malchus if the kohen gadol violates this lav, nevertheless, it's on a lower level, so to speak, as far as mamzerus and as far as tfisas kiddush. Am I going too fast? I mean, again, there's a lot of information here. I think
I'm getting it, but just, this is a question on the Kohen Gadol. What if he was already married? What if he was a Kohen, he was married to Almana, and then he became the Kohen Gadol? Does that...
So in that case, there's a Machlok Shina Bai Verova elsewhere in Yevamos, whether the lav is the marriage itself, or the bia, or both. So that's the only question as far as Malchus is concerned. So in your case where he was already a Kohen, he was not a Kohen Gadol at the time of the marriage, so he already married this woman before he was a Kohen Gadol. So even according to those Shitas, that he doesn't violate the law because the law requires marriage, and here he's already married to her, so he didn't do a Maisa Kiddushin. But nevertheless, every time he has Be'ila with her, he would be violating the law, the Iser essay of Bibsula.
So would the child be a mom?
And in such a case, the child would not... Even in the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries a ba'ula, or for that matter, even an almana, and in such a case, if we gave him hasra, he would get malchus for that. Because he violates the law of the Torah. Even in that case, the child is not a mamzer. Again, we're going to see two opinions about that, but we're holding by the first opinion. And there's no mamzerus, and there's tfisas kiddushin. Now, why is that lav different than any other lav? For example, if a man would be makadesh any other chayvei lavim, he would according to Rabbi Akiva, he would create mamzerus, and there would be no tfisas kiddushin. But almana l'kohen gadol is the exception. Desanya Rav Simai Omer, min hakol oser Rabbi Akiva mamzerim, any child that's born out of a relationship of chayvei lavim is a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. Chutz me almana l'kohen gadol, even though almana l'kohen gadol is a lav and it's chayvei lavim, meaning you get malchus for it, the child of such a relationship is not a mamzer. Shari Omer Torah, The Torah says, I'll read the beginning of the pasuk. It says, "Almana lo yikach," and then at the end of the pasuk, it says, "V'lo yechalel zaro bi'amav." Now, the word yechalel, which is a conjugated verb of the noun chalola, is a reference to what we call psule kahuna. So when we talk about psule yuchsin, we have to break it down into two distinct categories. There's psule kahuna and there's psule yuchsin. So for example, you could have a woman that you and I could marry, but a kohen can't marry her. That's called psule kahuna. And one of the categories, or the general category of a psule kahuna, is called a chalola in a female, or a chalol in a male. And basically what the Torah says is that a chalol is a person whose kedushas kahuna was vitiated, was completely desecrated, which means he can't do the avodah in the Migdash if he's a man. A woman would not be allowed to marry a kohen in such a case. She's a chalola. Now, what the Torah says about almana l'kohen gadol is v'lo yechalel zaro, means that if the kohen gadol marries an almana, the child, the zera, is mechulal, which means he's excluded in a male or a female, excluded from kahuna. So the Gemara sees that as a mute. Why? Chiluin hu oseh v'ein oseh mamzerin. It's psule kahuna, but not psule kol. Psule kol means a mamzer. In other words, the Torah went out of its way to add the fact that the kohen gadol is being mechal zera. We certainly would have assumed that the child is mechulal. The child is his. Okay, so now we have to understand, which I'm just talking to you like first graders, you know, so don't be insulted. But what I'm saying is that psule kahuna are narrow, and below them there's psule kol. Anyone who's posel a kol, by definition, is mechulal mikahuna. So that if the Torah wouldn't have said a word, I would have certainly understood that the child of a marriage between an almon and a kohen gadol is certainly a chalol if she's a female, because not only that, she's a mamzeres. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, chayvei lavim generate psuei kol, meaning mamzeres. So why did the Torah have to go ahead and say v'lo yechal zaro, as if to say he's being mechal zera from kahuna? What do you mean he's being mechal? He's being mechal zera from kol, from anybody. No one's allowed to marry this woman unless a mamzer can marry, but not nobody else. So from the fact that the Torah said v'lo yechal chilulim hu oseh v'eino oseh mamzerim, if that be the case, then in almana l'kohen gadol, the child of such a relationship is not a mamzer. And if it's not a mamzer, it means, as we said before, the kedushin tofsim. And if kedushin in tofsim is, then we have a case where even Rabbi Akiva would agree that there's chayvei lavim and there's tfisas kedushin. And that's going to be the case of almana l'kohen gadol. And if that be the case, we understand the machlokes between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. So let me review that machlokes, because I think you missed that. So it comes out like this. The Braisa that we're studying today quotes a machlokes about how to understand Veloti Elish. In the parasha of Ones, the Torah describes this woman as a woman that he can marry. So there are two interpretations. Shimon HaTimni says it's referring to a woman where there's tfisas kiddushin. That it doesn't bother me if he's not allowed to marry her, but as long as she's a woman of lo tia le'isha, yesh lo ba havaya, he could have a marriage relationship with this woman. She's included in the parasha of Knas. Now, according, if we introduce Rabbi Akiva, then there's no tefisas kedushin nechayvei lavim, then Shimon HaTimni is excluding knas, both in the cases of chayvei krisis and even in the case of chayvei lavim. And therefore we were perplexed by Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says, no, what does lo tia l'isha mean? Isha hara'uya l'kaima, which means any woman who's asura olav, she's prohibited, is excluded from knas. And the Gemara points out that both these shittas are against our Mishnah. But we want to understand what was Reb Shimon Manasseh adding or commenting on Shimon HaTimni. Because in any event, every case of Chayvei Lavim, which is not Ruya L'Kayma, is Ein Bo Havaya, according to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says there's no Havaya in Chayvei Lavim. So Gemara answers now that what Reb Shimon Manasseh is going to add to Shimon HaTimni is the case of Kohen Gadol La'alman. Why? Because if we only had Shimon HaTimni, then according to him, since this Havaya, there is Kiddushin between an Alman and a Kohen Gadol. Again, he violated a law of Sheish Bal Malkus of Chayvei Lavim, but nevertheless, the Torah would recognize that Kiddushin. And that's called Yesh Bo Havaya, and the Tfis Kiddushin is derived from this mirut of Lo Yechalav, Chiluim Oseveno Ose Mamzerim. Now comes along Reb Shimon Manasseh, and he says, no, even in the case of Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, there would be no Knas. Why? Because that's not an Isha Ruhi L'Kaimu.
I definitely am at the first grade level on this, so I'm going to ask some more basic questions. Why are we focusing on the Kohen Gadol? Aren't there restrictions on regular Kohanim? Why are so different in terms of how those are treated?
Right, so I think the assumption now is that according to Rabbi Akiva, if a regular, you know, rank and file Kohen were to marry, let's say, a Grusha, then the child would be a Mamzer. Because we don't have that special mute that appears in the parasha. Again, we go through the parasha inside, but we'll accept it now as axiomatic that when the Torah in Vayikra Chafal says Almona, etc., lo yikach, the Torah is addressing Kohen Gadol. So in that case, we have the mir of lo yechal chilulim u'osavino ose manzer.
In that case, then only a ben Kohen Gadol can become a halal, because you could become a mamzer, you're not going to be a halal anymore.
According to Rabbi Akiva, the whole institution of Halalus as a unique institution would only apply to Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, because otherwise it's Mamzeris.
Right, okay, that's how we have to hold Rabbi.
Right now, again, the Gemara later on is going to backtrack on this, but
according to Rabbi Akiva, right, we'd have to say
okay. So there are other people. Okay, yeah, that's okay.
All right.
That's helpful.
Now all this is according to Rabbi Simoi.
Right.
However, now we get to Rabbi Yeshevev. Ul Rabbi Yeshevev, the Omar. Now again, it's not clear historically whether Rabbi Yeshevev is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, or maybe even one of the Rebbeim in the previous generation before Rabbi Akiva. The reason I mention this is because the language of Rabbi Yeshevev is very harsh. You know, he would not say this about Rabbi Akiva unless he was of an earlier generation. And he says, the Omar, he says, Bo v'netzavach al Akiva ben Yosef. He doesn't even give him the appellation of a Rebbe. He calls him Akiva by his first name. And he says we should go out and scream against Akiva, Shaya Omer, because Rabbi Akiva said, Kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael, havlad mamzer. Now this phrase of Kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael has to catch our attention, because what he's saying is that in any case whatsoever, where there's an Yisr bia, whatever the Isur Bia is, even in the case of Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, let's go Kol She'en Lo Bia B'Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. Again, here you can ask your question, so why does Rabbi Akiva need an entity called Chalos? Okay, then he's going to say the Chalos is only as far as Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It has nothing to do with Psul Yosef, because every case of Chalos is... Right. Alternatively, I mean, then we have to go into a different sugya about what's called shogigim. All right, let's leave that out. So my Beinai, now comes out that according to Rabbi Yeshevev, Rabbi Akiva expanded the scope of mamzerus to include even the lowest level on the totem pole, which was Almanu L'Kohen Gadol. And according to Rabbi Yeshevev, we don't have this drasha that we had before of Lo yechalel chilulim hu osavieno simamzer, because he's saying that even in the case of Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Akiva agrees that the child is a mamzer. And then we come back to our original question: what did Rabbi Shimon Manasseh add to Shimon HaTimni by saying kol she isha ruhi l'kaima? we don't need Isha Rula Kaima because every case of an Isa Bia generates Mamzeris and prevents, you know, blocks Tfisa's Kiddushin, and that already was established by the interpretation of Shimon HaTimoni, Velo Tia Le'isha, Isha Sheish Lo Bahavaya.
So, we're talking about the rice and the difference with Shimon HaTimoni and or Shimon Manasseh, and the issue is, so if we were holding like other Tanaim, another mandama that says, well, if only laws that are subject to karis or worse are create mamzerim, then there's a difference. Then we know there's a difference because now you have a lot of laws that are not mamzer who would therefore be subject to this. Right? Is that
right?
Now they're just trying to figure out, well, what if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, then. So they recognize there's a difference between the two of them. They're only trying to figure out in the case of Rabbi Akiva what's the difference, because there is a difference.
Right. It's A plus B. A is Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and B is Rabbi Akiva. So if we are joining hands, we're making a partnership, which is all theoretical. We have no way of knowing this. Such a partnership exists between Rav Shimon Manasseh and Rabbi Akiva. Then we're in the dark as far as why did Rav Shimon Manasseh comment on Shimon HaTimoni? Right? In the Brises, Rav Shimon Manasseh says, no, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. Shimon HaTimoni, you made a mistake. You have a very nice first name, same first name as I have. But after that, we part ways. Because when the Torah says, Velosia Le'isha, says Rav Shimon Manasseh, it means Isha Ruya Le'kaima. And therefore, we're going to expand the p'tur, the exclusion of Knas, to include even a woman who's Eina Ruya L'Kaima. Now, there must be one case that Shimon HaTimoni would have said is somehow included in Knas, meaning it's not excluded by Shimon HaTimoni's interpretation of Lotzi Elisha Isha Sheish Bavaya. And on that case, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh got up and he argued against him. But if the set of Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya is all inclusive, then there's no justification for Shimon ben Manasseh to come up with a different interpretation of Lo Si Ali Isha.
I guess what I'm confused, and I'm sorry to go very, very basic. What I'm confused by, I guess, is what is the difference between them if you're not holding Rabbi Akiva?
Oh, if you're not holding Rabbi Akiva, it's very good. It's Chayvei Lavin. It's Chayvei Lavin because before Rabbi Akiva came up with his thesis that even Chayvei Lavim generate Mamzerus, before that, we thought only Chayvei Krisus would generate Mamzerus. So therefore, in Shimon HaTimni's frame of reference, the case of Chayvei Lavim would be included in the Parash of Knas. Why? Because Yesh Bahavaya. Comes along Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and he says, no, in the case of Chayvei Lavim, there is no Knas because Eina Ruya L'Kaima.
Okay.
That was before Rabbi Akiva.
Somebody who is not
A man marries a mamzeres.
Right.
So before we had Rabbi Akiva, the child of such a relationship would not be a mamzer. Okay, that's a little bit confusing. Let's take the case in Messina. It's a little bit easier. In the case in Messina, is a chayvei lavim of lotis chateng bom. And the child of such a marriage would not be a mom. So that's before Rabbi Akiva. Right. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and he says, no, whenever you violate a lav, the child is a mom. So if that be the case, then already in Shimon HaTimoni, I have an exclusion of Nesina based on the pasuk Velosi Elisha, the Isha Sheish Lavaya, because there's no Avaya in the case of Nesina. So she doesn't, a Nesina would not fit into the description of the Torah of Lo Si Ali Isha. So therefore we don't understand what Rav Shimon ben Manasseh add or comment or criticize Shimon HaTimni. You know, again, if I had a blackboard, what I write on the blackboard is follows. Here we have Shimon HaTimni, and here's the circle of what's called Yesh Ba'avaya, Ein Ba'avaya. Now we're looking for one case of Yesh Bahavai. Well, what is going to be the case of Yesh Bahavai? So before Rabbi Akiva, Yesh Bahavai would have been Chayvei Lavin. After Rabbi Akiva, we don't even have that. So we still don't have a case of Yesh Bahavai. Then the Gemara tries to attempt at introducing Almana L'Kohen Gadol. That works very well if you hold like Rav Simoy, but if you hold like Rav Yeshevev, then even the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol is Ein Bahavai. So again, we're desperately stretching our arms to find a you know, some sort of a cash, how do you say it in English, a straw of Yesh Bahavaya. Which is Yesh Bahavaya? If, again, if you have Rabbi Akiva plus Rabbi Shevet.
You know. So basically trying to identify categories where somebody is allowed to, or where the marriage would be
valid post facto.
Post facto, okay.
Even though it violates the need. So we haven't come up with such a case. So that's why in this, I call it this hierarchy, we're trying to find the lowest rung on this hierarchy where even though you're violating an Iser, it's called Isurei Bia, nevertheless, Yesh Havaya, there would be Tfisus Kedusha. Okay. And we haven't found such a case.
And the difference, I guess, the evidence of what would qualify would be a marriage where you're not allowed to or you're not supposed to, but the children are not mom there.
Correct.
And that defines well.
That's what we're looking for right now.
Sorry.
That's good. All right then. Ika Beinayu, and here we turn to the Flamen of Aleph. Chayve Ese. Okay. Now this is interesting because in this hierarchy of Isurei Bia, we have not yet found the lowest rung, which is called Chayvei Ese. Chayvei Ese means the Torah never uses the language thou shalt not, do not. But rather the Torah says, marry this woman, and from that we derive by logical deduction that you're not allowed to marry a different woman. So it's from the positive that we derive the negative. That's called in the Lashon HaShas, if you're familiar with Masechta Demachos, for example, Lav Haba Mechlal Esei. So the Torah never actually formulates a do not, a lav, but from the essay we derive a do not. But it always has the status of an essay. For example, if you violate a Lav Haba Mechlal Esei, you don't get Malkus for such a thing. The classic case of a Lav Haba Mechlal Esei would be V'nisem es nafshel seichem. Nowhere does the Torah prohibit us from eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. The Torah says that we have to put ourselves in a state of inui, of affliction. Yeah, but anyway, we're not going to go into Masechta Demachos now, but here's the Gemara is going to now present us a case in Isurei Bia where the Isur itself is derived from an essay. And that's the case of Mitzri Va'adomi. What does the Torah say with regard to Mitzri and Adomi? We're going to read a parasha in Ki Teitzei. Lo sesayev Adomi. Interesting. The Torah opens up by saying, don't have a repulsive relationship with an Edomite. Ki achichahu, I mean, you know, this is, philosophically, this needs a lot of explanation. Achichahu means they come from Esav, who was the brother of Yaakov, and they were both children of Yitzchak. And it says, ki ger ha'isav v'artzo. You know, Yishkoyach, you know, for 200 years they persecuted us, so therefore we cannot. This is the meat of Hakaras HaTov. But anyway, that's a more philosophical discussion. Then the Torah goes on to say the following. Bonim asher yivoldu lahem. Are you allowed to marry these Mitzrayim? You tell me I shouldn't they shouldn't be repulsive in my eyes. And the Torah says, Bonim asher yivoldu lahem dar shlishi yavo lahem b'kal Hashem. In the third generation, you're allowed to even marry them. So imagine what happens. A Mitzri, again, there are going to be 50 million different scenarios, which, again, for that we'd have to learn for about a month, the laws of Yuchsin. So just on a very superficial level, okay? A Mitzri undergoes conversion. And let's make life easy. His wife is also a Mitzris, and she undergoes conversion. So the child of that marriage is born Jewish, but we're not allowed to marry that child. Then that child marries, let's say, another Mitzris Geris or Gioris or whatever the case may be. Now we're up to the Dar Shlishi, we're up to the third generation, and now we're allowed to marry that, let's say, the girl or the boy, whatever the case might be. The Torah never says, thou shalt not marry the first two generations of the Mitzri Adomi. What the Torah says is that you can marry them when they get to the third generation. That's called a Lav Haba Mechal essay. That's a Lota, says, derived from an essay. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, even according to Rabbi Yesheve's extreme position on Rabbi Akiva, he interprets Rabbi Akiva as referring even to the case of Almana LeKohen Gadol, correct? And for that matter, if you remember the language of Rabbi Yesheve, Bon and so on, Kol Sheyesh Lo Bia, Kol She'ein Lo Bia BiYisrael, which implies any Yisr Bia, generates Mamzerus, and therefore there's no Tefisas Kedushin. That's only if the Bia is a Bia Asura. Asura means B'toras Lav. But if the Bia is Asura B'toras Lav Haba Mechal Esei, then even Rav Yesheviv in Rabbi Akiva would agree that the child of such a relationship is not a Mamzer, and there's Tefisas Kedushin. So if a man would marry a woman who's a Mitzri Shenis, in other words, her parents were Mitzrim who converted, you'd be allowed to marry that woman. I'm sorry, scratch that. What I meant to say is, not that you'd be allowed to marry that woman, but what I meant to say was that if you married that woman, you would not be in violation of a lotaseh, right, because she's a Mitzri Darsheni, but rather you would be in violation of an essay. And the child of such a relationship would not be a mamzer, even according to Rabbi Akiva, even according to Rabbi Yesheve. And now the Gemara is not even happy with that. We're going to soon see that the most extreme definition of Rabbi Akiva is that even in the case of a Mitzri Sheni, the child is a mamzer. Okay, now in order to appreciate the next Gemara, let's again reread Rabbi Yesheve on the bottom of Chof Tes Amid Beis. Because the Gemara is now going to offer two different readings of Rabbi Yesheve. Now, Rabbi Yesheve appears in our sugya here on Chof Tes Amid Beis following Rav Simoi. So one way of learning this Rav Yesheve is that he's addressing Rav Simoi. The other way is that he said an independent statement. He wasn't talking to Rav Simoi. But let's go one by one. So one way of approaching this statement of Rav Yesheve is that it is a response to Rav Simoi, and he says to Rav Simoi, "You're wrong." You're wrong when you assume that if an almana marries a kohen gadol, the child is only a cholol and not a mamzer. The child is a mamzer. And that's what Rabbi Yesheve meant to say. Why? Because in the case of almana l'kohen gadol, there's a violation of a law. The Torah says lo yikah. Oh, then it makes sense to say that Rabbi Yesheve would agree in the case of Mitzri Sheni, which is only a law of Amachal Esei, and there's no law, then the child is not a mamzer. But there's another way of reading Rabbi Yesheve. He wasn't addressing Rav Simoi. He was making a separate independent statement. And he was saying, listen carefully to the words of Rav Yesheve. Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael havlad mamzer. Ein lo bia b'Yisrael means that the Torah does not allow that relationship. Period. I don't care whether it's a lav, whether it's an essay. It's all inclusive. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. Fine. Ha nicha. Everything you said is very good. Rav Yesheve. If Rav Yesheve was arguing with Rav Simoi about the case of Almana LeKohen Gadol, and basically Rav Yesheve was saying to Rav Simoi, any violation of a lav, even if it's a lav where the Torah adds lo yechalel, if you follow what I mean, even in such a case the vlad is a mamzer, but only because he violated a lav, shapir. Now we're very good, because we could say that Rav Yesheve would agree that if we dip below the level of a lav, what's below the level of a lav? Lav of amachal esei, chai v'esei, then there's no mamzeris. Then everything is good. You've come up with a case where there is a violation of an iser bia, albeit as an iser esei, and yet the child is not a mamzer. Ella e time of the nafshei kamar. If Rav Yesheve was saying his own independent statement, he was not addressing Rav Simoi. Let's read the language of Rav Yishevev. Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer afilu chai v'yesed. Even in the case of Mitzri Adomi, right, the second generation, even that is included under Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer. So if a man marries the child of a Mitzri and a Mitzris, then even though he doesn't violate a lav, he won't get malchus for that. The child is a mamzer. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva, the way Rabbi Yishevev interpreted him, was an all-inclusive statement of kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer, including even chai v'yesed. So the Gemara says, "Ikabeinayu be'ulo lekohen gadol." Nowhere does the Torah tell a kohen gadol that he's not allowed to marry a be'ula, a woman who was never married but she had a relationship. Nowhere does the Torah say that. But what does the Torah say back in Emor and Vayikra Chafal that we mentioned earlier? It says, "Ki im besula me'amav yikach isha." The kohen gadol is given a command, a mitzvah, to marry a besula. So if he doesn't marry a besula, then he violates the mitzvah of besula yikach. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Umayshna? Wait a minute! You just finished telling me that kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer, which includes even chai v'yesed. So why are you excluding the case of be'ula kohen gadol?" And the Gemara answers, "Dahavi le esse she'ena shove b'kol." There's a fundamental difference, a categorical difference between Mitzri and Adomi and be'ula lekohen gadol. Whereas Mitzri v'Adomi is a prohibition until Dar Shlishi for every single Jew. No one's allowed to marry a Mitzri Sheni or an Adomi Sheni. In the case of be'ula, she is only prohibited to one person in the world. That's only a kohen gadol. Again, had she been a grusha, let's say, if she had been married and then she was divorced, she'd be asur for all kohanim. But in the case of a be'ula who is not married and divorced, or for that matter, even in the case of an almana, there's only an isur to a kohen gadol. That's all. So that's called a lightweight isur. You know, in boxing, or was it wrestling? I forget. There's something called a lightweight. Mm-hmm. Is that which sport is that? Yeah.
It's lightweight. Boxing.
So lightweight boxing. So now in the categorization, the stratization of isur bia, we have a lightweight isur bia, and that's called Almana l'kohen gadol. Why? I'm sorry, be'ula l'kohen gadol. Big mistake I just made. Be'ula l'kohen gadol. Why? Because be'ula l'kohen gadol is called an esei she'ena shove b'kol. So again, once you have a chayvei lavim, if it's a chayvei lavim, we don't differentiate between shove l'kol or ain shove l'kol, because chayvei lavim is a heavy, heavy duty isur. Once we dip down to chayvei esei, which again is no malchus, it's only a violation of an essay, then we distinguish between two categories of chai v'yesei. This chai v'yesei sheshava l'kol, for example, Mitzri and Adomi, and then this chai v'yesei which is eino shava b'kol, and that's the case of be'ul l'kohen gadol. Now,
one question being, this actually has an explanation in the note, but I just wanted to raise it because this was the first question I heard. Why does he have to accept that? Why does Shiva have to accept that? Why does he have to accept that this is excluded?
No, again, the whole structure of this sugi is all theoretical.
Right.
Do you follow me by theoretical? It's all assuming that you can make a combination between Rav Shim ben Manasseh and whatever, Rav Simoy, Rav Yishevev, the first interpretation of Rav Yishevev, the second Yishevev. You know what I mean? If Rabbi Akiva was walking down the street and he met Rav Shim ben Manasseh, and they shook hands and they exchanged views, and each one mutually accepted the other person's view, and if we accept Rabbi Akiva the way Rabbi Yishevev interpreted Rabbi Akiva, but b'dinafshei ka'amar, meaning he wasn't addressing Rav Simoy, then we would have to come up with a case of chai v'yesei of be'ula l'kohen gadol.
So according to Rabbi, if she was an almana but a basula, what would it say?
That's an interesting question. So ask me that tomorrow. Okay. Sure. Maybe by tomorrow I'll be smarter. I mean, until I got through this, okay. You know.
Because that might put it into a...